Awesome. And this isn't your last time you're going to be here, right?
No, it's not, yeah.
So, thank you.
Thanks, brother.
Yep. Yeah, so they're here through July 10th. So that's, you know, roughly, what, 2-3 weeks or so. If you'd like to spend more time, get to know them more, hear their story, they will still be here afterwards with our potluck together. So with the time we have remaining, what I'd like to do, this series that we've been going through, I don't know how stimulated you are by the idea that God is in a posture of forming us. He's forming us through what we just heard. That forms you now when you hear about things that are happening on the other side of the world, what Garrett just shared with us. God is in the process of wanting to form us into something. And that doesn't happen by accident. We will be formed into something, but there's this opportunity as disciples to say, I want to partner with what God is up to as the potter, as the one who has his hands around the clay. And this morning, just this last time we have together, what I'd like for us to consider is this idea of gathering together. If what we've been reading in the other half of church and understanding about relational connection and understanding about how emotion and relationship and identity forms us way more than truth. Why is it that I can listen to a one-hour sermon on a tape and go, and then have a super deep, profound relational impact and go, that right there, that was the day. That's what made my day. There's this way we're wired with the people we're around in our gathering and the habit of gathering. And there's probably more here to share than we have time for. But I'd just love for you to consider, do you consider the people you're with as part of God's plan to fashion you into his image? Do you see them as a gift to you? The people you're around are a gift to you to fashion and form you into God's image of what he's creating inside of you. That's the opportunity for us to see of what a gathering and a fellowship is. The stats would say you are the average of the five people you spend the most amount of time with. As far as what you start to assimilate into your life, you go, oh, that phrase, that's really good. I'm going to hang on to that. Oh, yeah. You know, David shared one you can be dead right. I was like, oh, that's really good. I like that. I'm going to use that. I'm going to keep that. You're the average of the five people you spend the most amount of time with. We are formed in community. We're formed by community. And if we don't see the reason that God has put others around us, the church, whether that's in a small group or a small men's group, a small women's group, this time together on Sundays, all of what the people of God is doing is the opportunity to form and fashion each other towards Christ. If we see in a very American way, no, I am an island. I get to do whatever I want. I get to be John Wayne on horseback doing whatever I want, right? John Wayne, life is really hard, but it's a real hard life when you're stupid. That's what John Wayne said. Just come on, get it together. Do you see that is so contrary to this culture that we live in? So I think what I'd probably want to share with the time we have left, I think there's a lot of things that compete for why the value of our gathering together. Why is it important for us to see, not just, again, not just Sunday, but when we pray on Thursday, when we gather together in small groups, when you have others over in your home, all of those instances is the two that I thought of that the cultural winds that you're going to feel as you go against that. One would be, if you've ever heard this, or maybe you've thought this, is the mountains are my church, right? Or outside nature is my church. That's where I connect. And I think there's a reality there in that we do get away from the tech, we get away from the concrete jungle, we get away from all this crazy go, 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 and we get a chance to breathe. That's very restful. There's a place for connecting with the awe of what God's created and who he is. But that's not what Jesus asked us to do. Otherwise, it would have been very clear. Hey, church, those who have been reconciled by God, make sure you live next to really beautiful scenery. And so I'm really sorry for those of you that are in northern Nevada. You know, That's not what the call was to find places that are just like Malibu or whatever your beauty of scenery would be. And we are super close to a lot of beautiful, awe-inspiring nature. There's actually a study that they did among regions and locations that are close to natural beauty, and religious affiliation drops in those places in general. Because there's this kind of heart cry. We're hardwired to see beauty and go, yes, this is awesome. And yet we don't connect with the one who made that beauty, that made the north face of Long's Peak, that made Twin Sisters, that made all these amazing valleys and gulches and places that we get to visit and see. He's got a will. He's got a plan. He's doing what the Simmersons and many others, he's doing what our call is to be together to do. The other one that just for me growing up just never happened would be kids' activities, kids' sports. It used to be kind of this like non-negotiable, at least for me. When I was growing up, I played a lot of sports, and it was almost always like nobody ever planned games and things. Unless you're on a really high-end traveling club kind of thing you were really in, there's nothing planned on Sundays. And now it's any other day of the week, right? I don't run as much as I would like or used to, but it used to be there's not that many races that got scheduled on Sundays. Maybe every once in a while, maybe like 10, 15, 20% of races, running races. And now it's like, can I find a race that I want to run that's not on a Sunday? It's just become this thing, and that's a cultural headwind. What do you think about parenting and raising your kids to say, we can't do that because gathering with the people of God is better than my son's jump shot. It's better for me and for him. Where do you land with that? How do you feel about that? There's decisions, there's values, there's priorities, and as a disciple, you will be formed, whether it is with the Long's Peak and the mountain crowd and doing something every weekend, the weekend warriors, or by throwing your kids into all those activities, that's forming and shaping you, that's forming and shaping your family. And what I would just love to ask you is to consider, do you see the people of God as God's gift to you to form you into the heart and the image and the character of what he's after? More than a three-point shot for your kid. More than that 14er that you want to bag. More than all of those things. So we're called to belong to a person, belong to Jesus. So here's the idea. As Jesus was first calling the apostles, of what Garrett was sharing as the apostles went out, before that, the Gospels are very much the proto-church. People will be quick to say, well, Jesus only used the word church twice in the Gospels. Jesus doesn't really care that much about the church. Whoa. let's hold on. We'll get to that. The Gospels is very much the beginning, the kingdom of God announced, the kingdom of God established. And as he's establishing that, what does he do? He calls the disciples. He went up on a mountain, called to them those whom he desired. They came to him. He appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, so that they might be with him and he might send them out to preach and have authority to cast out demons. So pretty simple. I think you could say this would be a very simplistic general definition of what the people of God are called to do. Called to be near and with Jesus, spending time in praise and worship and prayer and enjoying him, enjoying learning more of what he's done for us, experiencing that together. And then there's a mission. We've been sent out. And though we might not get thrown in prison or have that, there's still a mission here. And we're still trying to figure out, Lord, what do you have for Northern Colorado? What do you have for Lovin'? How could we see more come to Christ? How could we see more come to faith? We want to partner with you globally. We want to partner with you locally here. Hearing Chris with other church that meets in our building on Sunday afternoons, just hearing what they're doing. Oh, yes, there's people in this city that love your name, Jesus, that are bringing your gospel to others, that are bringing the gospel to the police department. There's really amazing stories going on in the police department with the chief of police here. God's at work. do we want to be involved with that mission in some way, shape, or form? So very simplistically, I don't know how you think of what church is. If church has always been a building or organization or just kind of an abstract idea, I think it's meant to be this real tangible group of people that you belong with, belong to, that you're a people with, you're living life in. And they are God's gift to you to form into fashion. They're there for your development, for your formation. It's a gathering of disciples learning to obey all that Jesus commanded. Neil Cole put it this way. I think this is pretty succinct. I've come to understand church as this: the presence of Jesus among his people, called out as a spiritual family to pursue his mission on this planet. And whether we're in the far reaches of this world, or we're here in Loveland, or wherever we might be, we're called to belong together, and we're called to go be on mission together. Belong to Jesus, with him, and called to go be together. Okay, we're not going to, the first church, this Acts 2 portion, we'll come back to that another time. I'd love for us just to consider, when you think of how the New Testament describes church, what are the analogies that the New Testament gives? These would be the four principal ways Scripture would speak of what you and I are doing right now. Hopefully. Hopefully this is our understanding of, and so some things that first pop out before we jump into this is, it doesn't say church as club, or church as affinity group, or church as social get together, fun place, church with all those things. These would be the four primary scriptural examples of what church is meant to feel like, to experience like. And I just love for us to think about, what are the implications if church is meant to be family, when you gather together, that it's family. As soon as we say that, right? Like Father's Day, it's like, as soon as we say Father, everybody's got their image of what they grow up with. And what does family mean? Right? What does it mean to be God's family? How do brothers treat sisters in God's family? How do brothers treat brothers in God's family? It's not like, well, my family, I just grab my brother, give him a nice little nugget in, and just do it on whatever, wrestle him, push him down. No, what would a holy, loving, perfect triune God, what is his family like? That's your identity. That's your name. Could you take the name of God as your belonging? That's who you belong to, your identity. Church as an army. A lot of more of the apostolic goals and the battle, the forces of evil. Do you recognize that if you are in God's church, in his family, in his army, what Garrett described of trying to rob Satan blind of all of those plunder that he has, your name's attached to that too, if you're going to involve yourself. It's almost like this feeling of Frodo, right? And he goes, what have I gotten myself caught up in? I just wanted to be in the Shire. I just wanted to go around Lake Loveland and have a good old time. And all of a sudden, spiritual attack or challenges, as I follow and obey Christ, it gets harder. Harder. What is going on? That is the way. To engage in the army and go, I thought it was going to get easier. I thought as soon as I had enlisted, things would get much easier. No. You don't know what you signed up for. You signed up to move to the front of the queue. So you get to protect. You get to serve. You get to stand for others on their behalf. To be a flock together. Do you feel like a flock? What would it feel like to be a flock? To be a sheep among sheep. And I think the idea of the flock to me is just this call. It's like, we all need the shepherd. Yes, there's diversity of gifts. And yes, there's a spectrum of maturity. And yes, there's all those different things. At the end of the day, we all just need a shepherd. And we need to walk in oneness with that shepherd. And I actually don't, in that battle, have any offensive measures in myself. How many offensive measures does a sheep have? right? Like, oh, I'll shed my wool at you. How are you going to do that? Your only offensive measure is staying close to the shepherd. That's your offensive measure. And entrusting that to him. The church is a building. It's God's edifice in this world. And every major religion builds very ornate, very grand buildings to celebrate who they're worshiping and what they're doing. And could it be the amount of money and time that we spend putting into church buildings, we go, what if we thought of it as, don't you realize you're the brick and you're the brick and you're the brick and you're God is building you. You are the building and the edifice and the architecture of what God goes, I am so proud of what I made. Look at it. It's my building that I've put so much time and effort into. You and I are that building. Those are the way Scripture describes us as a family, as an army, as his sheep, and as a building. So here's where I want to finish. We won't go into that. Is I want to finish just with when you think of gathering, again, church has a lot of background. Maybe it has baggage. Maybe there's hurt or pain. Maybe there's a lot of joy. I don't know where the background of church lands for you, but I think there's a journey that God wants us to have when we think about each other, when we think about the body, when we think about gathering as the people of God and growing more and more towards something. I think we all tend to start in this place, and this is something that was shared with us this week. I really enjoyed this idea. We tend to start in our maturity thinking subtractionally, meaning, man, if I do that, I lose because I don't get to do what I want to do, right? And that's not a condemnation. That's just all how we think in our early maturity. That's how a child thinks. If I do that, then I lose because I don't get to do what I want to do. If I choose to gather with the people of God and say, I'm going to show up with my heart and my faith, and my life, rather than getting every 14er I could ever get or honing my son's three-point jump shot as best as I can, I'm losing now because I really want those things. That'd be the first idea of thinking. It's a subtractional way of thinking. Hopefully, we would move out of that, I'm just losing, but we eventually can kind of get to this place of transactional thinking. If I go to church and engage with the people of God and engage in faith, well then, Lord, somehow you'll miraculously make my son's jump shot really awesome. Somehow I gave that to you, and so he just has a natural gift now. So that, and we start trying to barter with God. We negotiate with God. I'll do this for you, Lord, if you can get the things that I really want out of my life. I'll somehow start a church that just hikes 14ers all the time. And we'll do that. And we think transactionally. And that's not the way Christ came into the world, where he said, hey, let's make a deal. That's not how Christ spoke. He said, come follow me. And this final place of transformational living, transformational where it goes, whether I win or lose, and whether my son's three-point shot is awesome or not, and whether I hike the mountains or not, I'm here to engage with God's will and God's plan. What he has for me in that. And that's a refining thing. I don't know. I've thrown out a couple of things that I would really enjoy to spend time with. We've all got other things. I don't know what those things are. Where you're at in this. But the thing I'd finish with is I just want you to imagine this good friend of mine. He came up to me. He said, Nathan, Love you, love spending time with you. So fun, it's really great. But your wife, not so much. I really actually don't enjoy being around her. And so if I could just get a lot of time with you, that would be fantastic. And so how can we do that? When can we meet? Do you think I would be inclined to go, hey, what a friend. What an amazing guy. I'm going to make you super close to me. I really want to open my heart to you. And don't we do that to Jesus? Go, Jesus, I just love being with you. You're so awesome. Your bride? The church is, no thanks. She's not really for me. I'd rather not be around her. But you, you're awesome. Do you think Jesus takes that as something that really warms his heart? I think he's insulted. I would be insulted if you said that to me. And so as we look on each other, as we look at the church at large, to remember that's God's bride. That is Jesus' bride. And yes, there are weaknesses, and yes, there are things that need to grow, but if you love Jesus, you'll love his bride. You don't get to parse out the two and just hang with him and say, no thanks. They're a package deal. So as we gather for potluck, would you look around as you enjoy the food and go, you're a gift from God, and you're a gift from God, and you're a gift from God. And together as God's people, following him, God has put each one of us in this room and others, the church at large, to belong, to be a people, to be formed into his image. Do you view church that way? Please don't view this as a sit in the seat and do the good things. We want to participate. We want to draw out. We want to engage. We want to interact. We want to have living faith. What does that look like? How can we spur each other on in that? What does that look like to be the family of God? So might share more of this later. We'll see. But let me pray, and I'll wrap us up and pray for the food, and we'll get it out. I got a bunch of the tables out in the back if we want to set those up. But Jesus, we do just thank you for your bride. I thank you, God, for your church that you care for, that you love, that you nourish, that you think constantly about. I just thank you for each person in this room. Help, just if there's any places in us, Lord, where we are thinking subtractionally, like we're just losing as we engage with your heart, as we engage with your plan. Lord, those temptations, Lord, would you speak into those? Would you provide your presence and your goodness and your gentle and firm reminder of how good it is when brothers dwell and sisters dwell in unity in your name? There's a blessing there as we dwell together in that. So please help us, Lord. Thank you for the food we're about to enjoy. Thank you for all the work and labor and kingdom expansion that's going on here and around the world. We're so thankful that we're part of a transcendent, amazing, eternal plan, and that each of us has a part to play in that. And so we bless you this morning. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done for us. In your name we pray. Amen. All right.